Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Averill-Law.com. Today, this week, we are going to be talking to Chris Sinkar. He is a guest on this show many, many times, and a business owner, franchise consultant, and expense reduction expert. And we're going to be talking to him today about what business owners are planning for 2021. Well, Chris, welcome back to the show.
David, it's so good to be back.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, and I'm not going to lie, it has been a unique 2020. And as we head into 2021, I keep saying to myself, what's going to be different, Chris?
David, if we went and asked that question a year ago, could we have possibly have predicted what 2020 would have brought to us? I don't think we possibly could have.
No, I don't think anybody could have possibly. And boy, I'll tell you, there are things in life that cause disruptions in the marketplace. And, you know, maybe back in the early 1900s, whatever disruptions they had, but with technology and all that today, what a difference.
You know, David, I think it was really interesting that if we go back, you know, if you kind of close your eyes and you think about what our lives looked like a year ago, last January, and then you just fast forwarded 90 days to April. The disruption that occurred in our work lives in those 90 days might have otherwise taken a decade. You know, the transition that happened really at warp speed there, David, was we immediately had to transition so many of the norms that we are used to in our work lives. You know, the physical setting of where we were working, the ability to travel, the ability to just meet someone casually face to face for a cup of coffee. All of those things changed in a heartbeat. And I think that some of those are going to be lasting changes in our economy.
Well, when you say in a heartbeat, you're not joking. I mean, I remember it literally changed within 48 hours. I mean, we were suddenly shutting everything down and going home. Companies were shuttering. They were closing. They, you know, people were picking up sometimes not even their laptops. They had to be shipped later. I mean, they were out and we were going.
Yes. I mean, I remember, David, very distinctly that for our family, you know, the last day of a quasi-normal springtime was Friday the 13th, March 13th of last year. And that's the last day that any of my kids set foot in a school building. It's the last day that I was physically in my office for all of the, until back in September again. So it really did occur very, very rapidly. But I think what's interesting is the technology that we have in place today in our workspaces has facilitated us with a transition and with some roughened times and a little bit of bumpiness. We've transitioned to a new way of doing so many of the things that we do at work.
There is no question that we have had to adapt. And I think you and I both know that remote work is now here to stay. And I will put a caveat out there that certainly we do have a lot of the essential workers that are out there that are on site. And first of all, kudos to them, right? In every industry that have been able to maintain manufacturing, production, healthcare, security, police, fire, all those essential workers, I could go on to what they are. I mean, that's a piece of it that we really came to know as heroes in this last year.
Well, I think, you know, those folks have always done yeoman's work, but now we finally had a chance to sit back and appreciate the difficulty of where they work and how they work and how long they work every day. You know, it became evident to us over this last year. So yes, those essential workers deserve compliments. They deserve our thanks. They deserve our gratitude because they're working in a really challenging environment right now.
But having said that, A lot of places have gone to either full-time remote, part-time remote, and that's changed the landscape, has it not?
There's no doubt about it, David. You know, if we think about it, you know, I'll give you an example. With a business that I'm involved in, we normally have two conferences a year that are live. They're large gatherings, and it's not only a festive atmosphere where we're celebrating success, but it's also an environment where it's really easy to just grab somebody around the arm and pull them aside and have a one-on-one conversation. We've had to adapt those work settings to now be successfully deployed in a remote way. So it's not just our day-to-day work, but it's all of these special events. It's conferences, it's large group meetings that we've had to adapt to how can we work effectively remotely. But I think what really, to me, has been the success of it is that we have very quickly been comfortable adopting new technologies to do that. You know, my grandmother participated in her first Zoom meeting during this pandemic. Right? Because she wanted to spend time with our family. We're doing that at work. We're doing that at home. But those technologies have made people realize that you really can work effectively in a remote setting, maybe not 100% of your work week, but at least for portions of your week, you can be a very successful remote worker with the right technology and with the right kind of circumstances in your home life.
What certainly has, you know, that question that had been out there for years, can it be done effectively? Can it be efficient? Can it be all these things? And I think depending on what it is that you're doing, I think the answer for the most part is yes. And to your point, part of the time or all of the time depends on what you're doing.
I think it does depend on what you're doing. You know, I think there's been a hesitancy in the past from a lot of professionals that they had this bias that their customers wanted to see them face to face, that they felt that was more personal and responsive. But I think what we've realized over this last year is that face to face on Zoom can be effective. And honestly, David, it does allow you to be more responsive. It doesn't require you to drop everything you're doing, hop in a car or hop on a plane and travel to someone. You can say, let's talk about that. And you hop on a Zoom conference and 5 minutes later, you're looking face to face at one another and you're solving problems. So I think that the trust that people have in one another can still be translated, but it's being done in a very different way.
You know, speaking about customers and clients and people that we have had to go and talk to, you know, when you think of vendors, suppliers, people who are providing a value for another organization, they've become certainly more comfortable with having people at a distance. Their tolerance, their time has been a little more regulated. They don't have to break away and take a lot of time. So they do seem to have, I'll use the word, a little more flexibility at times.
I think that's what I have found increasingly as this year has rolled forward, David, is that the ability to get on someone's schedule has actually become simpler because it's not a massive undertaking now to arrange a meeting. And you can schedule a 15-minute meeting that will last 15 minutes. And it doesn't drone on for an hour. And so it has allowed people to have more compactness to their schedule. It allows them to have more consistency. It allows them to really have more control over what their workday looks like. And honestly, the other piece of this is we need that flexibility. All of us are balancing a lot of responsibilities on our home life with our family and our friends that we didn't have to balance a year ago. So that flexibility and the technology and the scheduling and how all of this has worked together, it's essential that we have that flexibility built in.
Well, that's the disruption, isn't it? And that's the disruption of what we expect. And that has the disruption in business because it's affected everything from your local grocery store, your restaurant, your place that you go and entertain. It's certainly affected the entertainment industry and the hotels. I mean, it depends on your industry, but it has certainly made a long-standing impact right now on business in general.
Well, I think this, David, will be the number one lasting change that comes out of this pandemic for us. It has completely revolutionized the way that services and products are being deployed and distributed in our country. You know, how many of us prior to, you know, the middle of March last year would have actively considered grocery delivery at our houses? We had never done it in our lives in our house. And now we've made it a routine kind of part of our week is that we get our basics just delivered to the house. We've done mountains of online ordering and Amazon visits our house on a monthly basis more than they would have in a yearly basis before. You know, restaurants have completely adapted in many cases, David, from having a large sit-down facility to simply having a production kitchen where they're doing takeout and delivery. So I think that there are really revolutionary changes in some of these industries that are occurring right now that are going to be long lasting beyond when we've moved past this pandemic challenge.
You know, it's interesting, Chris, you were talking about a trend that we see. And one of the things that just recently I had been listening to was some trends having to do with here in the Northeast. And they're saying it's really, of course, across the country is this shift from, you know, to warehousing. Right. And having the ability to have your products around the country, not only for national retailers or national chains, but even for local chains. So instead of having a brick and mortar retail store, for example, you might have your facilities in five different locations across the state so that you can quickly get that product to the consumer in a delivery method or in a different way of doing it. It's kind of the same thing we were talking about with a kitchen. Right. Rather than having a restaurant, you have a kitchen in different areas of the state where you are just delivering product out the door as quickly as you can.
I think it's causing a lot of businesses, David, to reevaluate why they are doing the things that they're doing. You know, there are stores, David, that previously had a retail storefront because that was the norm of how that industry competed. But I think now it's causing people to really evaluate, okay, do I really need to operate this way? Or is there a more nimble, lower cost, more effective, more responsive way that I could be operating my business? And I mean, I think the easiest one for me to see because I participate in it on a regular basis as a customer is the food industry. And I keep coming back to that example, but it's because that industry, probably other than hospitality and travel, I think the restaurant industry has been the most transformed by what's occurred during 2020. And I think the really wise business owners within that segment are being very creative and being very transformative with their business. And I think that we as a society have gotten comfortable that we can do takeout food effectively. Is it 100%? No, but it's pretty good. And it's certainly more convenient. And if it allows us to drive the cost down a little bit and to have a greater variety of things available, I think consumers are going to continue to buy that way.
Well, I also believe that there'll be innovation. Right. As we all know, it's coming. There's better ways to transport, to keep it warmer, to keep it longer, to make sure the quality is still good. Because one of the main problems you have from a really good restaurant is by the time you get it home, it's not quite the same. And I know companies like Starbucks and some of the others are trying to figure out ways how to deliver this in a way that keeps the quality of the product so that when it gets delivered to you in a dine-in fashion or dine-out fashion, I should say, it makes it clear that it's still the quality still there.
David, I had a gift delivered to our house from a business partner of mine that was ice cream. And it was delivered to our house and it was cold as if I had gone to the store and purchased it out of the freezer myself. So you're absolutely right. We've continued to innovate how we can deliver these products so that they still are delicious to us. They still are delivered in a way that we're really excited to consume them. So you're absolutely right about that, David.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar. He's a business owner, franchise consultant, and expense reduction expert. We're talking about business owners, what they're planning for in 2021, and of course, the 2020 economy, how it has certainly changed our new normal. We're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour Educational HR Radio. I'm your host, David Chulo, and we're talking to Christopher Sinkar. And he is a business owner himself. He's a franchise consultant, and he's an expense reduction expert. And we're going to get to all that shortly. But let's talk a little bit more about what we've been talking about is really the trends right now in regards to what is happening out there in the economy today. And we talked a little bit about, Chris, in the first segments, what has happened. I mean, kind of a good recap, some of the innovations and thinking that are happening for 2021. But I know you, and I know that you like to talk about what's happening in the world in terms of opportunities for individuals, for companies, for leaders in regards to growth. So why don't you hit us with the biggest thing that you think in 2021 is an opportunity for growth?
David, you know me well. I mean, we've known each other for a long time, and my focus is always on where are the opportunities to transform your business, to grow your business going forward? Because I'm always a glass half full guy, and I tend to be very optimistic. So I'm always looking for where the opportunities are going forward. I think there's some really interesting ones as we step into 2021. So as I think about it, we've gone through a really chaotic 2020. But when you go through the revolutionary changes that we've seen, what it does is it changes the competitive dynamic in so many different industries. And I think what that does is it opens up some pretty interesting opportunities for growth and change and innovation. So let me just give you one example. So if we look around us, if you just take a walking tour through whatever town you live in, I live in Pittsburgh. And so as you walk around, you're unfortunately seeing that over the last 9 months of 2020, there are some brick and mortar businesses that just didn't make it. They weren't able to adapt their business model. They weren't able to reduce their cost structure to be able to make it successfully through a really challenging time. Now, that's very sad for those business owners. But if we look at the flip side of that, what it creates going forward is a really interesting opportunity for new business development. All of those brick and mortar retail spaces that are currently sitting open, those are opportunities for new business owners to step in and be able to operate in space that's really prime real estate. And honestly, David, the truth of the matter is those spaces today are probably being leased up at a significantly lower price point than they were 12 months ago, because there's a lot of vacancy right now. So what I think that creates is some really interesting opportunities for businesses that do want to be located in prime real estate and do want to operate out of a brick and mortar location. So as an example, you know that in the franchise world, there are a tremendous number of businesses that are franchises in the fitness arena. And those are businesses that have had some real challenges during 2020. But when I talk to the owners in that space, they are extraordinarily excited about what's going to come over the next 12 or 18 months. They see opportunities to be able to open up new locations with terrific real estate opportunities. They believe that they're stepping into an audience that's going to want to consume fitness more than ever before because we've all been locked up in our houses for the last year. And so I think those are the types of opportunities that I start seeing in the marketplace that get me excited.
Do you also see this type of excitement in regards to office space? And, you know, I say that because the cities, and I use small, medium, large cities, have had a lot of industry leave downtown. You can talk about, obviously, we know the big cities are struggling, but even here in Portland, Maine, you know, companies are just not reopening there, or they just leaving empty space sitting there in rather large, beautiful office buildings.
So I think we used that word transform a couple of times during our conversation already, David, and I think that's what we're going to see in some of that downtown office space. So what I've seen in market after market after market is that there are some firms that are dramatically downsizing the office space that they have, because a lot of industries have determined that their folks really can work effectively on a remote basis. So the transformation that I think you're going to see is into a lot more co-working space, where instead of a law firm or a large corporation or a consultancy taking two or three floors of a downtown building, instead, what they might be doing is taking one floor downtown, but they also might be taking space in a suburban shared office space. Or they might be taking remote space in multiple different cities, but taking smaller offices in a co-working space and allowing their folks to work in a remote location when they need to and work at home when they need to. So I think that the office environment is going to become less fixed and more modular and more flexible in how it's deployed. It's not going away. It's just going to change how it's utilized.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar, business owner, franchise consultant, expense reduction expert, and we're talking about what business owners are planning in 2021. And of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio, and I'm your host, David Chulo. And you know, I got to tell you, Chris, you talked a little bit about the fitness industry, but there are other industries that are going to be in demand.
You know, David, it's funny you say that. So my wife sent me a note this week, and the note was really simple. It said, "Chris, we need to travel." So,
yes.
You know, David, we are normally a family that likes to get out, move around, experience new things. But in the last year, we haven't left kind of a 20-mile radius around our house. And that is really having the entire Sinkar family feeling pretty cooped up. I think as we move into 2021, as the health situation improves, as vaccines become more widely available, I think what we're going to see is a dramatic surge in people wanting to do things that they haven't been able to do for the last year. So to me, there's a handful of categories that really fall into that. So I think one, which we talked a little bit about, is travel. I think that people are going to start hopping on planes and going to islands and visiting the beach and seeing family again all over the country. So I think that there's going to be a massive surge as we move into the second half of this year. I think, though, if we think on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis, folks haven't been able to do a lot of things that they just really enjoy and take small pleasures from. You know, David, I haven't been back at my gym since March. I miss working out in the gym and seeing my gym friends and going there. My wife hasn't been to her gym since the same period of time. So I think fitness industry is another one we're going to see this resurgence of people driving back into it and really trying to enjoy that experience again. I think the beauty and wellness industry is another one. Those are businesses that are very high touch personal service businesses. And it's really hard to do that and feel safe, both for the provider as well as the guest. And so a lot of those businesses have really struggled this year as well. I think there's going to be a massive demand increase in those businesses, whether it's hairstylists or facials or massage or any of those beauty and wellness services. I think you're going to also see a big move back into those businesses, and they're really going to flourish in this coming year.
Do you see any particular brands or ones that you say to yourself from either in the franchise world, because obviously you're very connected with it, that are ones that just stick out as top possible performers that you could look at and talk to people about?
Yeah, you know, I think that I always tend to lean back on brands that have a strong leadership team and a really deep experience set, right? So in the fitness world, to me, the really strong family of brands to look at are the Xponential Fitness brands. You know, this is a family of brands that's been around for multiple years. They have 8 different genres of fitness within their family. And the leadership team of that business is extraordinarily experienced and successful. So when I start looking for specific brands to capitalize on these macro trends, David, I always want to look for experience and leadership. And I think Xponential Fitness is a great example of that.
No, that's very true. And when you're talking about other, you know, what we'll call personal interactions, right? Because that's kind of where you're focusing, as well as services.
Sure.
They're going to be highly desired. I think that's probably a very good point. And probably, if I was to guess, I'm going to guess that's going to be in third to fourth quarter, when it will probably, once the, you know, the vaccine is out and people are feeling more comfortable and people are traveling. Anything else you see as a growth opportunity for people to look at today? And if they're thinking about making a move, because maybe they're working from home and they truly enjoy it.
You know, I think as I've worked through my franchise advisory business over the last year, that's been one of the really interesting conversations that I've had with many of my candidates. They've had a flavor of what it looks like and feels like to be a business owner and to work at home and have autonomy over your schedule. And they like it.
Yeah.
And so
I get David, it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so I think that as I've been coaching folks through that transition, that's been one of the core themes that I've talked to them about. So in that regard, I think that there are a whole multitude of businesses and categories that I think are very successful today and will continue to be, where people can run the show themselves. You know, 2020 has been just absolutely a gangbusters year for anything dealing with home services. Because as all of us were at home and we weren't in our offices and we weren't traveling, what we did is we spent time enjoying and fixing up our houses. You know, you try to get a contractor, David, at your house, you can't even get somebody to show up and give you an estimate.
I'm starting to laugh already because we've had a project going on for 9 months.
That's right. And that's pretty typical. And that's going to continue because now people have seen how they can utilize their house. And they've seen that they enjoy having folks in their backyard. And they, you know, they've done these projects and they're going to continue to refine and improve their houses. So I think that's a great opportunity because those are businesses that don't take a large investment to get started, allow the owner a lot of autonomy around how do you operate and where do you operate and what do you do. And those are great businesses for people who are looking for a first opportunity, but looking for something that doesn't have a massive price tag attached to the startup.
Well, I think that's the other question that certainly comes up, and we always bring it up because it's really important, is that people need right now a little security.
Yes.
And so how, and we also know that right now interest rates are at all-time lows. So how do you balance the two as an advisor for business ownership? How do you balance those two today with a little bit of the uncertainty? There's some truth to that, as well as the fact that right now you can get really good offerings on debt.
So, David, I think that I look at this as proposing to many candidates an and instead of an or. So many folks think about business ownership as I either have a job or I own a business. What I would propose is that people start thinking about it as an and. There are a lot of very successful business opportunities that can be operated on a semi-absentee basis, which means you keep your job, you keep your existing paycheck, and you also make an investment in a business on a day-to-day basis. That business is operated by a manager that you hire. So you're providing part-time executive leadership. You don't have to leave your job. You don't have to give up your income. But what you do have to commit is additional time during your workday, because now you're going to work your job, but you also have to put some time into running your business. But in the short term, what that does is it creates an opportunity for people to have both income security and the long-term upside that comes from business ownership.
This is the HR Power Hour, and we've been talking with Chris Sincar, business owner, franchise consultant, and expense reduction expert. And we're talking about what business owners are planning for 2021. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
We asked kids what it took to be a dad. This is what they had to say.
A father is always present. I mean, what real father figure can you have if they're not there?
In order to be a good dad, you need to love your son. You need to put gas in your car so you don't break down in the middle of nowhere. And you need to make them breakfast. Yep.
I mean, just to maybe play like a board game with me, or to just stay home and play some video games with me. Just to do like that one little thing is what I really look forward to.
I'm not asking him to be a perfect dad, but he should try.
He's just a constant force in my life.
There's no other type of love like a dad's love, because it's not comparable to anything else.
Take time to be a dad today. Visit fatherhood.gov.
I'm Chris Riccobono, founder of UNTUCKit. We started UNTUCKit because we couldn't find shirts that look good untucked. That's why we created the perfect untucked shirt so guys can look sharp and feel casual. We have 50 fit combinations, so tall, short, slim, and bigger guys of all ages can look great in UNTUCKit shirts. Try the original UNTUCKit shirt at one of our 55 UNTUCKit stores or at UNTUCKit.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Verrill-Law.com. Remember, the HR Power Hour here in 2021 is now being podcasted. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on iTunes and many other of your exciting podcast programs. Please listen, enjoy, share, and let's have some fun. So again, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio, and today we're talking with Chris Sinkar. He is a business expert, reduction of expense expert, and a franchise consultant. Boy, you got a lot of titles, Chris, but I like it. I like it a lot.
David, it's fun to do a variety of different things in your day.
It is. And that's literally what we ended up talking about in the last segment at the end when you said there are multiple things you can do to have multiple streams of income.
That's right.
And that is, of course, what makes people successful, I think, and what you and I have talked about in the past in 2021.
You know, I have found in my career that the folks who have the most satisfaction and the most ease around their financial life are those who do have multiple income streams, because it risk reduces, but it also provides tremendous upside opportunity. So I think we ended that, you know, the last segment talking about creating an and instead of an or. And I think that's a big piece of what I've seen a lot of people try to do in a career transition is create an and for themselves instead of just an or.
Well, we're going to talk about a number of things, of course, that now successful business owners, HR professionals, and others just in general need to be looking at in 2021, because these are things they need to be planning for. And I think the first one ties right into the expense or cost that business leaders and management need to focus on. And I got to tell you, boy, it reminded me back in the Great Recession in the earlier years here when we were talking about every dollar counts and cash is king. So cost reduction, cost management, expense control certainly became the buzzwords again in 2020. And I now know will stay that way in 2021.
You know, all of us tend to fall into this inertia, right? Is we worry about certain things, but if it's not broken, well, honestly, David, we don't really stress about fixing it. Well, in 2020, a lot of things broke. That's the truth of the matter. And so it forced business owners to really start looking at items that they hadn't had to sharpen their pencil on for a decade. And what they found in a lot of cases is that they had created a cost structure that wasn't, they hadn't tried to let it become out of control. And they hadn't tried for it not to become competitive. They had just allowed it to slip a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And after that happens for 3 or 5 or 7 years, all of a sudden those costs really get out of hand. And so I've seen a lot of companies over this last 9 months come back to the table and really start to evaluate how can we reduce our costs? What are the best in market solutions in all of these areas? And as they do so, David, what it does is it saves businesses from having to lay off team members because they're able to right-size cost in other places.
What also allows them to get the most ROI out of their product or their service.
There's no doubt about it, David.
You know, there's no question about the fact that this is one way that you can look at your expenses, analyze them carefully in a way that you can't sometimes see yourself. And that's probably the biggest thing that I took away from our conversation a few weeks ago when Chris and I had talked about expense reduction analysts, is that the fact that you're really looking at things you probably wouldn't look at and in a way that is different than when you can see through your own eyes, through your own rose-colored glasses.
Well, I think, David, all of us tend to have a bias that we do things pretty well for ourselves. And in some instances, that's right. And in some instances, it's just not. And so, you know, in that business, David, what I help business owners to do is have a very objective look at their cost structure. We come in from the outside, taking the rose-colored glasses off, and just evaluating that cost structure without any emotional bias and just presenting to the owners, look, here's where there are opportunities to save money. What I say to business owners at the end of the day when I have that conversation with them is, you're not obligated to change any of the spending. but realize that the money can either go to you and your family and your employees, or it can go to your suppliers and their family and their employees. What would you rather do?
And as a business owner, it's pretty obvious to that answer, isn't
it? It is to every single one of them, David, is we want to be able to determine where we spend those dollars. And if we can buy the same service but buy it more effectively, that's what we should be doing for our businesses. And so I think that this has become a big focus for 2021, is people really evaluating those costs and making sure that they're buying things as effectively as they can.
You know, you mentioned a little bit about the fact of cost management and making sure they get the most bang for their buck. I know, but I want you to make sure you tell them that you don't sacrifice quality in that discussion.
Absolutely not, David. As an example, my 99-year-old grandmother, I go grocery shopping with her every week. And my grandma is a very discriminating buyer. So if she wants to buy applesauce for the week, she'll first look at the price and figure out if it's on sale or not. I would just grab the applesauce off the shelf and put it in the cart. But my grandma says to me, I'll wait a week because I know that it's going to go on sale. So, David, my grandma isn't sacrificing what she wants. She's not sacrificing buying a label that isn't as high quality. She's simply making a better buying decision about how she procures what she wants. And so that's the message to business owners, is you don't have to sacrifice quality to secure a lower price. Those things can work in tandem with one another, and you can have both.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar, franchise consultant, business owner, and expense reduction expert, and we're talking about business ownership in 2021. You talked a lot about cost reduction. I think the other thing that's really important is strengthening that customer relationship in 2021.
You know, David, I had a fascinating conversation last month with a business owner, and I asked him, I said, how has your sales process been this year? And he paused and he said, Chris, this has been the best year of sales that we've ever had. And I then sat back in my chair and I said, okay, tell me about that. And he said, what's very interesting is that because people couldn't travel around, sales reps were not calling on his customers anymore. And so when he picked up the phone to call his customers and to talk about new opportunities, they picked up the phone and they talked to him. And so in the course of those conversations, what he was able to do is cultivate with his clients much deeper understanding of where their business is today. What challenges were they facing? What did they need from him to make their business better? And so the consequence is he ended up growing his business dramatically this year, by focusing on really having deeper conversations with his clients, understanding their needs better. And instead of just quoting jobs because something came across in his email, he was picking up the phone and talking to them and really understanding them better and building a deeper relationship with them. That's a powerful lesson of something that's come out of this year, David.
There is no question that there is more time, there is more energy being focused, and it probably already always should have been there, but it's a new way of really looking and connecting that matters.
That's right, David. Those connections are going to start today, but they can last for a lifetime if you continue to cultivate them month after month, year after year.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's Collision Center.
If your car is wrecked and you don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust,
and it won't be a fuss. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today we've been talking with Chris Sinkar, business owner, franchise consultant, and expense reduction expert. And we've been talking about what business owners are planning for 2021. Chris, it's been a fascinating and absolutely wonderful discussion today because I think it's so relevant to what business owners, HR professionals, professionals in general need for 2021. I want to take these last few minutes as we look at this and focus on the core business things and functions that need to happen in 2021 as we wrap up today. What are they and how can business leaders make them happen?
You know, David, I think that if 2020 taught us anything, it's that we have to go back to basics and we have to really focus on what the core is of what we're doing and how we're doing it. So I think if we step back, every business will realize that they really have a couple of key things that they need to do really well. The first and foremost is that they need to understand their customers extraordinarily well. Because at the end of the day, David, there's not going to be a long-term opportunity for you if you don't understand what your customers are asking you for. So that first core function that I hope business owners focus on this year is really listening to their customers and being responsive to what the customers are asking them for. The second piece, you know this one better than anybody. You really have to make sure that you're building a team around you that is well positioned to help your business thrive in the future. You need to continue to develop your team. That if there's weaknesses there, you need to help your team members strengthen them. If you're ready to grow, you need to grow your team first before you can grow the customer base. So really investing in the number of staff members that you have on your team in advance of needing it, making sure that they have the skills to succeed, I think is really the second point that I'm trying to urge people to do this year. And then the third one and finally is continue to find ways to be innovative in your business. Don't just sit back on what you've done for the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. If 2020's taught us anything at all, David, it's that we can pivot successfully if we have a motivation to do so. We completely transitioned how we work from working in a fixed office and sitting in conference rooms to working remotely on Zoom meetings. David, we changed that in 30 days. That's a decade-long transition. I want to encourage business owners to continue to be looking out for what can they do that would be transformative to their business to make it better. And don't be afraid to give those things a shot.
Chris, that's great and sound advice. As we wrap up the show here in the last minute or two, tell us a little bit about Expense Reduction Analysts, the new business that you're working on.
Yeah, David, you know, I've been a business owner for 20 plus years, and I've consulted with a whole bunch of businesses. What I have found in those years is that business owners in general have a really good idea of what their core operations are. They have a good idea about their team members. Where they struggle is trying to understand some of the auxiliary functions in their business, some of the overhead spending. And those numbers are very elusive. They're difficult to manage. And that's where expense reduction analysts steps in. We step in to help companies better manage their overhead expenses. These are expenses like freight and shipping and chemicals and factory overhead and packaging and insurance, office supplies, janitorial, all of these things that happen in all of our businesses, but they're not the core operation. These are all of the background expenses that are going on. And we step in, David, to help companies make sure that they're spending appropriately on those and that they're not wasting money. And we do that in a way that's very low risk to our clients. We share the savings with the client. We don't bill them if we don't save them any money. And so it's really a risk-free opportunity for us to step in and help companies become more profitable.
And of course, you can reach out to Chris at what?
ExpenseReduction.com.
ExpenseReduction.com. Or of course, you can go to HR Power Hour after this show. We'll have the information there, direct link to Chris. Chris, it was wonderful having you on the show again. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you, David.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back with the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Tani Alvarez from Verrill. Let's talk about using independent contractors. Claims by individual contractors alleging that they were misclassified and should have been treated as employees as opposed to contractors are very common right now. This is also an area in which the government has strong enforcement power under both state and federal law. To determine whether you've appropriately classified an individual as the contractor, most states will evaluate whether the contractor is subject to the direction and control in the performance of their work by the company. Additionally, whether the services are performed outside the usual course of the company's business, or is it away from the company's facility? And finally, whether the contractor has an independently established business. Depending on your state, however, there may be more stringent guidelines that must be followed. Misclassification, however, can result in liability and penalties for failure to provide employee benefits, pay overtime, FICA, and FLUTA contributions, as well as unemployment and workers' compensation premiums. For more questions regarding appropriate classification of workers, contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Department.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week. Sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.